Hello and welcome to the Human Values Podcast. Oh, I'm so excited for today. My name is Javier Payano. I am a teacher and a character education expert. And I'm really excited to introduce you all to my new co-host, Luisa Fernanda. Luisa, say hello.
Hello, Javi. Hi, beautiful people. My name is Luisa Fernanda. I am an integrative nutrition health coach with a background in ABA as a behavioral technician.
Yeah, that's so good. And we started running the same circles online in our 333 daily Kundalini yoga meditation group, and just kind of ever since there, sparks started flying, and you know, we were vibing and we had the same values, and we started practicing human values in that space. And I think that was something that you got really excited about. You started volunteering with us, Sunday night meditation. You've been leading breath work once a month. So how's that experience been for you being part of the Human Values Collective so far?
Oh my goodness. It's been really, really juicy. I mean, I can really remember when I heard about the Human Values. I had won a call with your wife as one of like the followers. And that call, I had seen you guys meditating and we had connected for over some time now. But in that call, she specifically told me about Human Values and like what it meant to be like a conscious parent and conscious adulting. And a lot of that conversation, I was like, oh, that's ABA. Yeah, that's ABA. We do that in ABA. It just has a different name. And just seeing this immense overlap and being like, yes, this is it. If we can, from the jump, help the kids have this automatic programming, having these thoughts, having these values, like that will lead them to a better life. And I mean, it's been a really beautiful experience to practice human values in my own life, to have a community to practice with. And it really is so simple that it kind of sounds crazy, you know, but it is, there is a lot of science now that backs like affirmations and how that really affects the brain and can produce better outcomes.
Yes, beautiful. And I could tell immediately how much you cared about kids, which is like why we got along so great from the get-go. So we're going to circle back to a lot of that stuff, but let's do a grounding exercise because I'm just like so excited, right? So let's bring it down a notch over here. We're going to do an exercise I do with my students called the Heart High Five. And this is something that was inspired by the Heart Math Institute and the book, The Heart Math Solution, that essentially says you take your hand and you just gently tap on your heart area, your heart space. You could do little circles, little caresses, or you can even just leave your hand there. And what I tell my students when I'm doing with them with this activity with them every single day at the beginning of class is I say, say something useful to your brain and body, like all is well, I am safe, I'm amazing, I can do anything. And then we just hold that together for about 30 seconds. So as you are listening to my voice, just start paying attention to your heart rate, your breathing. Are you getting more relaxed? For some people, they don't feel anything the first time, but it is a practice that deepens and deepens with times. And it's something that the kids really, really love and really helps them. So let's pause there. We'll take a deep breath in and out. Wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, stretch out your arms and legs, stretch in any way that feels good. So grateful to do this practice together again. And that's the way I get my class started. So I just recommend that for everybody, every teacher, parent, and practitioner out there. How did that feel, Luisa Fernanda?
Oh, you know, I love myself a grounding technique. You know, I'm a big promoter of breath, and that does feel really good in ABA when a child is going through some difficult emotions. We always know you don't teach during that because, again, your nervous system is on defense mode. So that means you are not receiving any feedback well. So you teach after the moment has passed. And I feel like this is what that is doing, is kind of priming us to regulate. Our nervous system is now open so that you then have a better class and your students are actually remembering that. So thank you for leading us through that.
Oh, of course. And I like, you know, people hear meditation or grounding exercise, I think they got to get on the pillow for an hour and just sit in silence. And what I found is, especially when we're talking about working with kids, you need something short, simple. You got to get in, get out. But, you know, we're going to share a bunch of techniques that's like short, simple, and it's something that even really small kids can do, you know? But as the parent, as the teacher, you are the one modeling that for them. So that's really exciting stuff. We always want to share something that's going to be useful and accessible to as many people as possible as they get into their human values journey. So if this is the first time people are joining us or dipping their toes into the human values community, I just wanted to give a primer. What is education and human values? Right, so education and human values is a pedagogy that was started about 45, maybe 50 years ago in India, and then the international organization opened centers in places like Thailand, India, and it was one country in Africa, Zimbabwe. And I am just super excited to let people know about this because it's had a huge impact on my life. If I were to summarize it very quickly, it's whether it's in the family setting or in the school setting, it is practicing the value of the week with the children. So we talk about universal human values like love, truth, peace, nonviolence, and right action. And you know, those are just a few of them, but there's the infinite list of values. And the idea here is that we are all inherently good people, but we forget to practice goodness. Goodness is actually the value of the week we're going to talk about later. So having this systematic way of reminding ourselves to practice good human values like patience, flexibility, compassion, forgiveness, understanding. We need to remind ourselves to do that. And we need to be examples of that for the children because a lot of, let's say, discipline, whether it's in the household or in the school, is often very punitive. It's punishing the kids for what we don't want them to do. But as you said, Luisa Fernanda, as soon as you start punishing the kids, what happens? They get elevated, they get triggered, they get dysregulated, and there's no information going in once that happens. So instead of punishing them for the behavior we don't want, we need to promote the behavior we do want them to exhibit because we know that they can do it, right?
Yes, Javier, and honestly, that is a really big principle in the ABA field, is we focus on the behavior that we do want to see instead of the behavior we don't want to see. And like literally, if I have a client who's like getting up at and out of their seat the whole time while they're in class, like I don't focus on every time that they're up saying, "Hey, you need to sit down." I then have to focus on good sitting. You're doing amazing staying in your seat. Great job with your seat. And I reinforce the behavior that I want to see until that becomes their natural programming. So I think that's exactly what we're doing here. And it is so easy as we get older to just focus on our mistakes, on everything that goes wrong. It is not part of our only ourselves, but our culture, our environment. So we have to practice. We have to do these little things to reinforce the goodness that is in our everyday life.
Yes, because the negativity and the negative reinforcement, it's all around us. And we do it to ourselves. Like I like what you said, is like we are punishing ourselves, you know? So part of this work is learning even just how to be more gentle with yourself, not in a passive way, but in a way like, I know that beating myself up about this isn't gonna help me. It's gonna decrease my motivation to get done what I need to get done. But if I highlight my positive qualities, my good qualities, and I have a positive mental self-image, I'm much more likely to be motivated and achieve my goals. So that was definitely the truth for me. I'm gonna tell a little bit of story of like how I got into human values and why it's so valuable and important to me. So long story short, hopefully we'll see. But yeah, I had a lot of issues growing up, you know. I was thankful that I did grow up until second grade in Dominican Republic, and my parents did belong to a yoga center. We practiced meditation. I learned meditation when I was very young, and yoga at about 6 years old. I don't know if I like l super loved it the way I do now. You know, I was probably the story about me doing cartwheels, and then my mom opens the door to check to see if I'm still meditating, and I just land in lotus position, you know, to pretend like I was meditating the whole time. But when I was very young, shortly after that, my parents did get divorced, and it created this crisis of belonging for me, where I didn't know where I belonged or to whom I belong. I would live sometime in Chicago and then sometimes in Dominican Republic, and it was kind of this in-between space, and I never really felt like I belonged anywhere. It was very emotional, and I didn't know what to do with all of those big emotions. So I went through high school and college being a super people pleaser and really putting on a mask of like, this is what I'm gonna be because I think this is what people want from me. So I'm pretend to be what they want so they love me and then they won't leave me. Big chip on my shoulder. And then when I met my college professor and in orchestra, he started using kind of this emotional language and he would say things that described how I was really feeling. And I didn't know there were words for that, and then so little by little, I started learning a lot from him. But it wasn't until after I graduated and I started teaching in the high school, being very, desirous of students being happy, but they were dealing with stress and burnout and anxiety, same as me. And so I was just in this burnout place as a young teacher. My whole thing is I wanted to help the kids be okay, but I wasn't okay. I was still struggling emotionally. And then I reconnected with my professor and he said, hey, come to this workshop. We're doing a workshop on education and human values. And the rest was history. I learned about it. I started implementing it in my class. The value that struck me at first was the value of truth. It's like every time truth came up in that workshop, I was like, I was not being honest with myself and I wasn't being honest with the people in my life. And that kind of was that radical moment for me of like, okay, now is the time I need to, it's okay that I'm afraid that people are gonna leave me when I'm honest. That's okay. But if those people leave me, I know that more people are gonna enter my life. And the people who hear my truth and stick around, those are the people that are meant to be around me. You know what I mean? So that's my big example of how practicing a human value enriched my life immensely. So Luisa Fernanda, you talked a little bit at the top about getting to know me and Andrea and starting to get involved in education and human values. But can you say a little bit more about why education and human values matters to you so much?
Yeah, of course. Thank you for sharing your story. I love your just how transparent you are and the growth that you always share with everyone. I think for me, like you said, I not only you, I think all of us as children, like you went through a divorce. I had my own several traumas that occurred as a child that again lead this pattern of feeling unworthy. I grew up feeling very unworthy. I started drinking at a very young age. I was talking about this earlier today at like 13 years old. And it just kind of led me down this path that I every all of my actions reflected that I did not feel worthy of love, worthy of success, worthy of good things happening because of the shame that I felt for things that happened to me as a young age. So like it became very important to me personally. Like that is one of the things that I started to do to heal myself was to listen to do affirmations. And I would look at myself and say an affirmation card and I would walk around with it in my pocket. And it helped me rewrite those programs because I really had a lot of things like I don't deserve to be loved. I don't deserve to be good. And then working with children directly, like that's what I've done all my life is work with children. There was a one point at an ABA session, I remember it so clearly. He's a beautiful boy. He was like 3 years old, and we had been working at the center. It was his first time with like behavioral therapy, and we were doing these puzzles. And he would finish it, and I'd be like, "Oh, great job, amazing!" Praising him for the good job he did. Until one day, he looked at me and he like praised himself the way that I would, and I was like, "Oh, wow! Like that's what we're doing. We're building that positive inner monologue." So like instead of him hearing that shame, he is hearing all the good that he's doing, and that's when it really clicked to me the importance of our self-talk to ourselves. And I remember at that point remembering to be like, okay, if I spilled something, I would be like, wow, Louisa, you're such an idiot. I'm like, can I curse on our podcast? Is this okay? I'm like,
Sure.
You know, like, you know, like I would be mean to myself. I'd be like, wow, you're just an idiot. Like, how dare you? Like, and I remember when I saw that happen, I started to be like, you wouldn't talk to your client that way if they spilled something. You know, my 3-year-old baby boy spilled something. I would be like, oh my goodness, you made a mess. Oh, it's okay. We're going to go get a napkin. We're going to go clean it up. And that's when I really started to do those practices on myself. So I started to move forward with that outlook of like, okay, when you make a mistake, we're going to be kind. We're going to be loving. And that was a really big shift, but it helped me rewrite some of those programs of not being worthy, not being loved. And when I was encountered with the human values, I was like, oh yeah, this is it. This is how we do it. Is the practicing, is the repetition. It is the activity. It is all the things that come with, and you'll definitely know a little bit about it, but it has radically shifted my life and just the quality of my life. Cause again, like pretty living the same life, but the quality of my life, even though I'm going through negative experiences, sometimes like I will be like, oh, it's all good. You know, like life is beautiful and I'm able to reframe.
Yeah. It's so good. And I'm hearing too that you, thank you for sharing your story. So inspiring. It sounds like you started practicing human values before you encountered education in human values as a pedagogy, right? And that's kind of what I felt too, because when Dr. Tom Zell invited me to the workshop, and I didn't know what human values was, but then I heard someone say love, truth, peace, nonviolence, and right action, I was like, I'm in the right place, because those are all of the things that I want for everyone. And I think that what education and human values offers as a pedagogy, as a system, as a curriculum, is a systematic way of practicing positivity, of practicing goodness, of practicing, you could say, positive mental health. You know, even the idea of positive psychology was a relatively new field of psychology, because up until a certain point, it was just like, let's get the people who are down in the depths and let's get them up to baseline. But now we're here like, no, we want to ascend. We want to get better and better. And I know maybe we could talk about this another time, but just the question that came up with you is like, why do we resist giving ourselves praise or giving praise to other people or younger people? I don't know if you had an immediate answer to that.
I for me, the first thing that came up is, again, if you think of a baby, like, again, the baby is literally learning how to walk, and we're like, oh my God, great job. You're like just standing. They fall down and they're like, we're like, oh my goodness, amazing. You know, they learn how to speak and we're like, he said, bah. Oh my God, mind blown. You know, but the older that we get, that stops. It's, you're 18. Oh, what are you doing? You have to get a job. You have to know what to do with your life. Like, that's it. And it's like this very big series. And we forget that we don't get that. And we don't know that we need to be that for ourselves. Like, that is never told to us, that we need to be our biggest cheerleader. Because if you're not your biggest cheerleader, you are going to be your biggest enemy.
Perfectly said. That is so good. And this is, you know, the thing that I think of is, we don't, it's easy to praise the baby, but then when people are getting, and even teenagers, it's like, what? You're just sitting there doing nothing? Why don't you go practice or do homework or this or that, right? So it's just like always having that positive regard for each other, because you never know the mental health struggles people are dealing with, you know? Something kind that you say to someone else could be the difference from them continuing to keep going, to not give up, you know? We know that suicide is the number one killer of people 11 to 24 years old. So, and you know, we can share examples of, you know, friends of mine and students of mine and at another time, but you know, we have a lot of joy and we're gonna laugh together and have fun together, but also this is like, you know, we really care about this because we know that this work saves lives. So we're gonna do a little bit of modeling right now, because the place, the application for me, you know, we're really as an organization focusing on creating educational resources for teachers, parents, and students. And for me, the major application for the last 9 years has been the classroom. I am a high school music teacher in Chicago. I teach guitar and ukulele. And I, since that first workshop, have started teaching the value of the week every single week. And so what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to just demonstrate. I'm pretending I'm in my classroom right now and demonstrate. This is what I do with my students every morning. So I'll start off with a greeting. Hey, everybody. It's lovely to be with you again. I'm so happy to see you. We're going to have a great day together. We'll do the heart high five. And after the heart high five, then we'll go into the value of the week practice, which will say, through the lens of peace, we're practicing the value of goodness this week. And our thought of the week is, I am a good person. Let's say that together. One, two, ready, go. I am a good
person. I am a good person.
And then I'll just give a little bit of context. You know, often, and when we were in the school in Thailand where we all got certified to teach education and human values, the teacher, and it's a big hall, and the teacher will go around and ask the kids immediately, like, what does this value of the week mean? What does the thought of the week mean? And little kids, 6, 7, 8 years old, answers like, oh, this means this. You know, I have a challenge with teenagers where they don't want to say anything. You know, they're all like, mob mentality.
Cool.
No, exactly. So at least when we're first introducing it's a little too, you know, cringe for them. That's totally fine. But we know in the long run, you know, I can share testimonials of students who are just like, I wish all teachers did this. I wish I could talk to my parents about human values, et cetera, et cetera. So like, I know it works, even though at the beginning it can be a little weird to introduce. But I'll say, thought of the week, I am a good person. And this week, I want you to pay attention to your thoughts. Because in general, we sweet sensitive people can be very loving and encouraging and very positive about other people. But when we start thinking about ourselves, we might have a tendency to be a little bit more negative about ourselves. And that's not any of your fault. But we recognize that we have grown up in a culture that can be very negative sometimes. Sometimes school can be negative. Sometimes our friends and our family members can be negative. And a lot of us tease each other a lot. And, you know, that's fine. That I get that's a way to build relationship. But sometimes those negative messages get stuck in our head and we're just repeating them over and over again. We start to believe that that's the truth because we've heard it so often. So what we're going to do is pay attention to the fact that we're having those negative thoughts. Catch yourself in the act of the negative thought. And then say the thought of the week again, I am a good person. Because the way the brain works is, and here's where I go into all of the biology and the science of it, right? There's a bundle of nerves at the top of your spine called the reticular activating system. I call it the body's Google. And if you say, why am I a bad person? The brain will give you all the reasons you're a bad person, even if it's not true. But if you say, why am I a good person, or I am a good person, then your brain starts to give you, oh, you were kind to that person, you invited them to lunch, or you gave some of your food to your friend, or, you know, you brought out a chair, or you brought the ukulele for your stand partner. And that way you start to stack evidence of you being a good person. And what's more, extra activity this week is we're going to be on the lookout for opportunities to be good to others, because when we are good to others, we feel good. So this is not just about being a good person, although that's nice, but it's also about us feeling good because we deserve to feel good. And that's the practice that I do every single day with my students. I'll say something a little different every time. And then sometimes I will, you know, play the song of the week or do a little meditation, do a little activity, and, you know, keep it flexible, because, you know, everybody's different. And if we talk to any parents who are in our parents program, you know, they'll say, like, we do the value of the week in a car ride, or we do it during bath time, or we do it on the trampoline while the kids are roughhousing. You know, it's really universal. Human values is meant to be universal and applicable to whatever setting it is, whether it's in the classroom or at home. So that's the way I share the value of the week with my students, and I hope that's inspiring to people out there.
Yeah, thank you Javi, for demonstrating that for us. Like, I had the opportunity on Monday this week to be in a second grade classroom where they also practice human values. Their value right now is forgiveness. And again, it's beautiful to see these second graders come be like, what is forgiveness? And them give examples like, oh, someone did something and they say sorry. And you know me, I have to be like, but I have to practice being forgiving myself sometimes. And all the little kids are like, oh, yeah, we have to forgive ourselves. So like, I know that you're working with kids at a high school level, but I've had the beautiful experience to see it. And again, it's not as long as what you're saying right now. It's like a morning meeting slide that literally just says, this week we're practicing forgiveness. You know, I forgive people, and then they talk to their buddy, you know, about it. That's it. And that's it. And then maybe the next day they'll do it a song or an activity or a story that ties it all back. But it is a lot shorter and more digestible. But seeing just how easy it is for these kids at such a young age to also grasp these concepts that we think that are hard. But I think another thing that kind of goes back to what I was talking about, the baby clapping, like, gratitude is not something that you just know, or you know, forgiveness is not something that you're just you have. It's a practice that builds up. It's like all a brand new skill. So it doesn't matter if you're 7 or if you're 18, if you've never practiced forgiveness before, it will be challenging for you to do so.
I gotta shout out my rock star human values family, the Uses family here, where they had they do a family meeting style. So they'll sit down on Sunday afternoons and they'll do a family meeting, and they pull up the email, they read the email, and then they have the conversation starters. And I think the first conversation question they did when they were doing the value of self-compassion was like, what was a time in your life where you experienced self-compassion? And then the youngest son, he's about 9 years old, I think, was like, what's self-compassion? And then so the parents backed up. They're like, oh, okay, and just like boom. And I think the older ones helped to define it for the younger one. But yeah, a lot of this work is just vocabulary. Like it's tough for us adults to kind of like put ourselves in the mindset of a young person. It's like sometimes they don't even know what these words are, but that's in a moment that you teach them. And we're gonna, I have three questions, conversation starters that go along with the value of the week of goodness. But just kind of why we've had this kind of including parents in our community, because originally we're very focused on teachers. Why is this so important for parents to do with their kids? We all who are in the classroom are very aware that the cell phone use has become very, very prevalent, especially for our teens. And it is causing them to, first of all, increase in anxiety because, that's how a lot of these apps work. And then a decrease in social skills. And you can be as smart as you want, but if you don't have the social skills, there's going to be a lot of challenges ahead for you. And this also creates a challenge between a rift between the relationship of the child and the parent. No one cares more about the well-being of the child than their parent does, And it is my deepest desire, because of my background and my story that I shared earlier, is like I have this deep desire, one, for kids to be okay, and number two, for families to be close, for parents and children to be close. We all know, the world is a pretty wild place right now, intense place. And I think that if we have a chance at building a better world, a more peaceful world, the number one place to start is to make sure that our parents and our children have a really good relationship together. That's going to help the teacher too. If these kids go into the classroom and they're going to have all of these things that they can exhibit, the goodness, the patience, the understanding, the dedication. And kind of the last thing, and I talk about this a lot because it's so fascinating, that once a kid becomes 13 years old, there's a biological switch in their brain that goes off that says, mom and dad are stupid. I can't listen to anything that they say. And if a parent hasn't laid the foundation for a close relationship, they freak out when their kid starts pulling away. But don't worry, parents, they come back when they're 22 years old and they're in college, they need you to pay the bills and they're getting ready for their professional life. So they always come back, but we want to make sure that we're setting that foundation and having these conversations with the kids about human values. It helps the parent share their wisdom with the child in a way that doesn't feel preachy, because it's like we're all practicing this together. We're all doing human values together. So I think that's really special. And if you make it safe for your child to share what's really going on inside of them, then they'll feel safe bringing the darker, harder stuff up to you later, because kids will bring up little things, and if their parents freak out and get angry at them, they're like, oh, this is not a safe person to bring my issues to. And then we have a lot of parents who are like, what? I didn't know my kid was struggling with depression. You know what I mean? Have you experienced anything like that in your work, Luisa Fernanda? Just this rift between the kids and the parents?
Yes, 100%. And I remember specifically one of the calls that we've had with one of your students who came from a Latino home, and she was like, I could not talk about that. Like, that was not real. Anxiety and depression does not exist in Latinos' households, because their parents couldn't have it either, because they would just get hit with a
Yes.
chancla. So it is this creating the safety, and us as the adults being very regulated, being very calm, and not being like reactive to the things. And that's why it is important for us to do the grounding exercises at the beginning of having these conversations, so that we are open to it. And like you said, if you they are feeling safe about the small things, they will come to you. And for me specifically, like, I was that one child at 15, 16 who like pulled away from my mom, and then now having like the most amazing relationship with my family and being
Awesome.
able to communicate themselves.
Yeah. Because stuff comes up in family. And if we have a foundation and a platform to share truth with each other, we're going to grow so close together. Oof. I want that for everybody.
Yes.
Let's do,
And
go
what came
ahead.
up for me really quickly was just that, like, a lot of parents don't understand, like, again, the programming of a child. Like what I was saying earlier, like, I was programmed with like this unworthiness based on the things that happened to me. And there's something very like common that occurs with children when parents say like, be a good girl or be a good boy and do this for mom, do this for dad. So then we become conditioned as the child that you are only worthy of love when you are being this person. And if you're not being a good boy, right, which or a good girl, which means that you're feeling your feelings, maybe you're angry, maybe you're very sad, and that then you're not worthy of love. So being able to set up, like you said, that foundation from the beginning, that yeah, whether you're angry or upset, you're still worthy of love, and I still love you, and I'm here for you, that is going to let them feel more safer in the
Wow.
long run.
Amazing, amazing. Yeah, that feels really, really good. And if you're a parent and you're hearing this, it's not your fault. Like, if we can only treat children if it to how we were treated, really. We can only teach the kids how we were taught, and we can only parent the kids how we were parented. Unless you go out of your way to find a new way to do it. And that can all often be challenging because parents have a never-ending to-do list. But it's okay. We're here now, and we're gonna make the resources and the steps and the conversation starters super accessible to you so that it's easy peasy for you to make really big, dramatic, positive changes in your family. So let's do two conversation starters because we're coming up to the end of our time together tonight. Time flies
I
when you're having
bet.
a good time, right? Let's do a couple questions here. Number one, so this would be like in our family meeting script. Everything is there. You just have to read it off, and it leads to amazing conversations with your kids that you wouldn't have otherwise, learning things about your child that you would never have otherwise. So number one here. What pulls you away from remembering that you are a good person? I kind of coming back to the people pleaser thing. I have this thing, and I'm laughing because when I went to Thailand, there was a cohort of people from all around the world who were learning how to do education and human values. And my friend Fadwa from Morocco, she just kind of jokingly would call me Mr. Cheerful because that was kind of the thing. I was like, I'm cheerful all the time, even though I wasn't feeling that on the inside. But I just thought that that's what people wanted from me. So I was like, always trying to be Mr. Cheerful and make everyone else feel good.
You weren't gonna get love if you were a little
E
sad.
exactly, exactly. And so that's part of this is like, I'm a good person, period. Whether I'm happy, cheerful, grumpy, sad, whatever it is. And so I think that the pressure that I feel to make other people happy can sometimes make me forget that I'm a good person. And it's actually when I'm able to kind of just relax and remember that I am loved and lovable exactly as I am, I can kind of calm down. And that's often more helpful to other people than pretending to be happy, you know, for other people's sake. So that was a big learning experience for me.
Thank you for sharing. I think instantly what happened, what came up for me for this specific question, since we are practicing, this is the value of the week. When I make a mistake, like it happened to me, I was on the road today earlier, and I had seen like this squirrel that kind of like I knew it had passed away, but it wasn't squished yet. So I did something, and then I was like, drove. I was thinking about it, and I was like, I'm gonna go back and move it out the road. Like I felt this need to do that, but I was pulling off. There was a car coming, and they beeped like, beep! And like I remember reacting, like first wanting to be like, what's up? Like you, what's up? You wanna go? And immediately like catching myself and being like, God bless you, like thank you. But like in that moment, like again, like I'm thinking of this world and like what I was gonna do, like if I was gonna turn back. So like I wasn't really looking at my surroundings, and it was like I made a mistake. Yes, I started to pull off without looking. I'm so sorry. But like you could have just done a beep, like a little cute one to let me know that you were there. But she was like, and again, it did make me feel like I wasn't a good person, because I did feel this burst of like, rah, like you have no idea, ma'am. And then like later on at my golf club, I was serving a table and I forgot to put something in, and then feeling this guilt and this shame of like, oh my goodness, they're waiting. I'm a bad person. And then having to remember my like I'm a good person whether that happened or not, because I practiced being a good person, and like I didn't mean to, like it was an accident, like at the end of the day. But those thoughts come up and they do like want to take over. And then when I'm thinking those thoughts, I'm out of the present moment, because I again I'm no longer paying attention to the other people or how I can make this moment better. I'm just stuck in the guilt and the shame and whatever feeling that again it's not real.
And you feel like you have a mechanism now to deal with those thoughts, to know that, like, okay, my mind is saying that, my ego is saying that, but I know it's not real.
I think the practice, what this practice does and what it's done for me, is create enough separation that I know that it's not a real thought. So like even though I have it and I'm seeing it, I'm just experiencing it, and then be like, oh, okay, like that's the old programming. Like that's me. It's wanting to get me to feel shame and guilt, because then again, if I feel shame and guilt, then it'll be easier for me to pick up a drink, you know, and pick up the other one and get into these tendencies of how I used to cope. And like that's how the brain works. So when you start learning about how the brain is programming, and like what you're saying, it's just trying to confirmation bias. So the moment I have that thought, it is pulling up every other moment. It's bringing up that moment, the lady in the morning, and it's being like, look, you had a bad day. Do the thing that maybe isn't according to my values at the moment.
Yes. Yeah, it's so good. I want to pause here because you're just like nailing it. There is, and what a wonderful value of the week for us to kind of do our first podcast together on goodness, because I think it's so foundational to this practice. There are a couple pillars of education and human values, and one of the pillars is educare, which is an old Latin word that means to draw out. And the idea is that the goodness, the wisdom, the intelligence, the knowledge, the human values, they already exist within every person, but within our context, within the child. It's not so much that we're getting the kids and like dumping the knowledge onto them. It's more of we are cultivating the garden, we're cultivating the space in which the flower that's already in the seed blossoms. And so when we have this approach to education, it's very like Socratic, right? It's like we're setting the scene and we all experience the learning. We might have teacher and student or parent and child, but when we set the scene, everyone learns. Learning happens, and learning can't happen without both, right? And so just to walk around with this idea that people have goodness. Even that person that's honking the horn is like, yeah, I know you have goodness in you too, buddy. And that helps us that helps us really to get relief from those intense feeling a lot faster and remember our goodness a lot faster. So, Lisa Fernanda, I'm so grateful that we got to record tonight. Let's do a couple quick takeaways for people, some action steps that people can do to get more involved in the practice of education, human values. So kind of the takeaway number one we want people to walk away with is it's very common to have negative thoughts about oneself and others, but repeating a positive affirmation can help you to change your self-image and the way that you see other people. A lot of the work that we do is really a perspective change, because if you change the way you see yourself and the way you see others, you really change your whole life. It's really that powerful. And then number two, practicing human values is about remembering that there's goodness inside you and in the children, and remembering to bring that goodness out in your everyday behaviors and relationships. So, if all of that sounds good, we want to invite people to sign up for the value of the week. So, this is a kind of cool story too, because I started teaching the value of the week 9 years ago now in my classroom. And then I had teachers saying, hey, what is the value stuff you're doing? Can you send me that? And then I just kind of quickly after that, Andrea and I started an email list, and we just started sending the value of the week that I was doing in my classroom. We just started sending it to all of the teachers and parents who wanted to be a part of it. And shortly after that, we started the Human Values Collective as an official nonprofit organization. So if you are interested in getting the value of the week as an email, this is completely free. Go to humanvaluescollective.org. Look for the value of the week, sign up for that, and that's something that you can start practicing right away with your kids. I often just advise people to, just spend some time reading it. It comes out every Sunday. Just read through it, look at the videos, start getting the flavor, the language of education and human values. And then when you're ready, you start introducing it to your kids, just saying, here's the value of the week, here's the thought of the week. We have a fridge sign we put on the fridge, write the value of the week and thought of the week, so people see it every time they go get their milk and their food. So that's just like the easiest way to start getting involved in this work and to start making a huge impact. I tell my students, never underestimate the power of your words, thoughts, and actions to make a huge positive impact in the lives of those around you. So we're super inspired and super excited. Luisa Fernanda, our first episode together. How do you feel?
I feel really good. I feel like this is such a dream come true for the both of us to have these types of conversations, to get this information out to parents, to educators. Again, even if you don't have parents, if you don't have kids, like as an adult, it is a beautiful practice to have just for yourself. And it again, it's so simple, and it really is. It's a beautiful community. I feel very grateful. My heart is really full.
Yes, good. It's so simple that kids sometimes get it faster than the adults get it. And some adults, it's like, it's too simple. How can it work? But that's the beauty of it. It is simple. People understand it. Start practicing it. Give it a good few weeks, and then see if there's not a difference in your relationship with your kids. I can almost guarantee it. If you do it sincerely and consistently, they will start to blossom just like those flowers in our garden.
Yes. And like we shared again, I shared examples of things that happened exactly today. Again, that's how simple it has to be for parents. It doesn't have to be this long thing or, thinking about the one time you betrayed your friend X years ago. It can be something so simple as, again, as I reacted when someone beeped the horn for me and that made me feel that way. But I would, again, this is not a conversation just between me and Javi. I would love to hear what you guys also have to say about this value. What pulls you away from remembering that you are a good person? Because shame, when we keep it inside, shame keeps us locked in. It keeps us, small. But speaking it out releases that shame, and then we recognize that that's not the truth. So please share with us in the comments below how you feel about this value.
That's so good. Thank you for adding that. Let's say the thought of the week one more time. Ready? One, two, ready, go. I am
I
a
am a
good
good
person.
person.
We'll see how well that audio syncs up. Probably not. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me, Luisa Fernanda. We'll be back soon with another one.
Yes.
But until then, we'll end by saying you've made today an amazing day just by you being you. There's no one like you in the whole world, and I like you just the
Just
way
the way
you
you are.
are. All right. See you later, fam. Take it
Much
easy.
love to
Much
everyone. Take
love.
care.
Bye-bye.